This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Friday to empty seats, but is anyone watching on the various platforms? And what is happening with the medal count? Speaking of counting, it's about counting numbers of those that are coming down with this severe strain of the Delta variant when it comes to COVID-19 because of the virus outbreaks. There are a lot of backups that could affect us in the United States when it comes to the trickiness of what we would call the product pipeline. I'll explain. And the government now rolls out a new mandate, at least for the Department of Veterans Affairs, as to requiring vaccines for workers. How do you feel about that? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, the red carpet is rolled out for you, no matter your point of view, left of left, right of right, or somewhere in between. We're just having the conversation, people. Oh, my. So the Department of Veterans Affairs, which, of course, runs a huge, in fact, probably one of the biggest health systems in the United States, said on Monday they were going to mandate the coronavirus vaccines for the frontline workers. So they're the first federal agency to do that. Does that send up a signal that others could come next because of this new virus variant? The state of California, the city of New York, gave workers a choice, get vaccinated or face weekly testing. A lot of hospitals on the East Coast, the West Coast, and everywhere in between, including the Mayo Clinic, are requiring staff to get vaccinated following a plea from some other medical groups. Healthcare leaders say this is part of the fight against the coronavirus. And the effort to mandate that tens of millions of Americans get vaccinated. Right now, we're at that 60-ish percent of those who are vaccinated, both vaccines, you know, totally covered. But it's kind of a tipping point because millions of people have declined the shots despite money, appeals, weed, all kinds of incentives and swag and everything else. So how do you increase those vaccinations? You have schools that are opening up in a couple of weeks, and the projections with the Delta variant just don't look good. They look like they're colliding. So healthcare employees, health systems, long-term care companies, pharmacies, I think those are going to be the ones that are going to really push for the mandate for their employees to get vaccinated. I mean, it's not across the board. It doesn't mean everybody's doing it, but I think we see a little bit of a movement here. And hospital leaders in places where you're probably listening to me, Alabama, Florida, Missouri, they're imploring the holdouts to really get vaccinated because they're looking at the data and they're saying that the shots prevent the most severe forms of the disease that have led to those hospitalizations and sadly, deaths. I mean, so we're still talking about something a little bit different, but we're still talking about the same thing. And anybody in a union, labor organizers are speaking out against this. They don't like the mandate. They're saying, you know, they don't like it. However, Randy Weingarten, the president of the American Federation of Teachers, said this in a statement: in order for everyone to feel safe and welcome in their workplaces, vaccinations must be negotiated between employers and workers, not coerced. So how about that? And I think that you're going to see that from lots of unions. That is a very powerful teachers' union and a powerful president of the American Federation of Teachers saying that. that it has to be negotiated, not coerced. So how do you juggle that, especially when we look at the EU and what's happened there? There were wild riots in France because of the anti-vaxxers saying, no, thank you. We don't want it. But in the EU, they're requiring passes to enter bars and restaurants. So people who are vaccinated are getting in. They're sitting at the restaurants. They're listening to music. They're doing all of that. France on Monday passed the threshold of 40 million people having received at least one vaccine dose, close to 60% of the population. Macron tweeted, together we'll defeat the virus. We continue. So there have been a range of policies that are being tried out across Europe as they try to push the reluctant people into getting jabbed, into getting vaccinated. And France is one of those spots because they're seeing that the amount of cases are climbing. So these new passes are going to be required to go to not just the restaurants and the bars, but the museums, movie houses, any large public gatherings from August on. And there is pressure into dropping that off, into not doing that, but it's in place. So isn't it interesting? Because after all of that conversation, and by the way, in France, the one compromise was you wouldn't be sacked or you wouldn't be let go if you remained unvaccinated, but you could be suspended without pay. And the pass isn't required for 12 to 17-year-olds until the end of September. But 4 million vaccines have been administered in France, with the health ministry reporting that on Monday, 33.2 million people, like I said, close to 50% of the population. They didn't like what happened, and they didn't want to be left out, I believe, and so they decided to get it. On Monday, Ireland allowed hospital venues to reopen their indoor facilities to the people holding the EU's digital certificate that proves their vaccine status or a record from the country's health service executive, right? And they're protesting in Dublin. They protested in Dublin over the weekend where they had signs saying no to vaccine passports and et cetera. In Italy, they're requiring a green pass. So that's the only way you get access to hospitality businesses, public swimming pools, gyms, sports halls, sports events, concerts, fairs, cultural venues. So same thing. There is a big crackdown. In Spain, no national policy. In Germany, they're in the middle of a debate over how and whether there should be pressure to get vaccines and should it be increased on people who have yet to be vaccinated. So this is the conversation, people, not just in the United States, but obviously outside of our borders, and they're seeing what's happening there. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, who's under fire and in the middle of a recall election, is requiring state employees and healthcare workers to provide proof of the vaccination or, like I said, get tested weekly. And he said too many people have chosen to live with this virus. And he vowed that California will have the strongest vaccine verification system in the U.S. Wow. Olympics. Aaron Rodgers, we're going to the man cave next.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Time to
invade the mansion.
Well, of course, it's all about the Olympics, isn't it? After all, some of us are watching, some of us aren't watching. It's very strange. The opening games didn't draw much of much viewership. The opening games, I think, Friday, were probably disappointing to the network that's carrying it, which is NBC. So they didn't get much of an audience. But viewership has started to climb a little bit. You don't have any crowd roaring. You don't have any excitement. You don't have any of that. You just have the excitement that they're creating, and the viewers that have been tracked, through the miracle of ratings, for what it's worth, averaging about 19.8 million primetime viewers across all platforms. So that includes NBCOlympics.com, NBC Sports app, that kind of thing. But it's up from the weekend. Saturday it was 4.5 million. Friday, like I said, the opening ceremony is terrible, 7.5 million. And it's the first time that the 92 Olympics in Barcelona in Spain, when they had them there, that the network's primetime summer games had viewership increases from the opening ceremony through the first two nights of competition. But it was the lowest. The three-night climb for Tokyo started with a 33-year low. And it's interesting how people view things now anyway. Lots of people view things over the internet. They stream in different ways, so content is consumed. I've said this many, many times in, in a much different fashion than before. And I think it's, if you know what it is that you specifically want to watch, maybe it's like appointment TV, or maybe people aren't interested in the Olympics. Maybe the interest has waned because of what's happening in our world. So those that would be there and do watch, watch it, and those who would normally not have been there anyway are not tempted to tune in. It's a shame if you didn't see this woman swim, this young woman. 17-year-old Lydia Jacoby became the first Alaskan swimmer to win Olympic gold. She captured a medal with a major upset in the 100-meter breaststroke. She really surprised everyone, finishing ahead of those that were heavily favored to win, including the defending gold medalist from the USA, Lily King. She did end up getting bronze, and it was her first defeat in a 100-meter breaststroke final since December of 2016. So how about that? Jacoby said, I was definitely racing for medal. I knew I had it in me. I wasn't really expecting a gold medal, so when I looked up and saw the scoreboard, it was insane. She touched the wall, looked up. She looked stunned. And then Lily King, so classy, swam over to her and just, you know, slapped the water in joy. So that was a good thing. Jacoby became one of the youngest American swimmers to win an Olympic gold, joining very, very elite company, if you will. And she's from a small, small town, Seward, Alaska. And, you know, she actually moved to Anchorage earlier in the year to train. So her community was watching live from Seward, jumping and screaming up. They were just excited to see that. It was very cool to see her win that. In the 100 meter for the men, Ryan Murphy from the U.S. had to settle for bronze. Two Russian swimmers were faster and ended up winning the gold and the silver. And so it was the first time that the U.S. men at the Olympics since the Barcelona Games hadn't won the gold. They won 12 straight golds at the past six Olympics. But you got to kind of think of, too, what those teams were made of, who those teams were made up of. I just keep thinking of Michael Phelps, who's great to watch in the coverage. But, I mean, he was the unstoppable American, wasn't he? And not that he was never stopped, but in watching the Olympics, that's what I keep thinking. And he's excited for the young swimmers who are doing pretty well. In the Summer Games, it's about also the medal tracking, right? So who's got the most medals? What does it, you know, what does it look like? And there's still so many sports to be rolled out, and there's so many sports that are in their qualifying stages, I guess, for moving on. So in the medal count, the U.S. has 19 total medals, 8 gold, 3 silver, and 8 bronze. If you look at China, I had them down as I thought they were 19, but I'm looking at that recount, and they've got 6 gold, 5 silver, and 7 bronze. So that's where that sits. And then you go on through the rest of the countries as to where they are. Like our friends in Australia, 7 medals, 3 gold, 1 silver, and 3 bronze. And in England, 10 medals, 4 gold, 5 bronze, 5 silver, rather, and 1 bronze. But, you know, there's, like I said, so much more to be rolled out at the Olympics. You still have Katie Ledecky, who has more time in the pool. She got the silver in the 400 meter. She lost to the Australian Titmus, and that was a fun one to watch a couple of days ago. But and you still have the gymnastics that's going on, although with the men, the Russians won their first gold medal since 1996. How about that? In 1996. But there still is lots of gymnastics left. You also have basketball and a plethora of other sports that are just rolling out because we're only a couple of days into this, you know, now at this point. And you've got tennis happening. You had Naomi Osaka, who lost to the former French Open finalist, Vanda Rozova of the Czech Republic, 6-1, 6-4 in the third round of the Olympic tennis tournament. A lot of people were watching that because, you know, she lit ultimately the Olympic flame, which was pretty exciting for Naomi Osaka, but she does not move on in representing Japan. And you had a couple of other things since we last met that were pretty exciting, like the men in the relay, and one of the relays winning the U.S. men. Complete excitement over that. Still days later, people are talking about it. You've got the U.S. beach volleyball dynamic duo with their second straight win. How far do they go? April Ross, Alex Kleinman. They beat Spain 21-13, 21-16. So they have one more game in the preliminaries. They can't do worse than a three-way tie for first. So there you go. Ross is a three-time Olympian, has won silver and bronze. And the first-timer, Kleinman, this is her moment, right? Because this is the first for her. You had Flora Duffy, who won the women's triathlon at the Tokyo Games. So Bermuda got its first gold medal in Olympic history. So that was pretty exciting for Bermuda. You had an American who won the bronze. How they do the triathlon, I have no idea. I know people that have done triathlons, and honestly, I don't know how you go from one to the other and you make it to the end where you just are running, and she looks so happy as she crossed over. All right, so we're in the man cave. We wouldn't just be talking about the Olympics. I got to jump to this one. Aaron Rodgers is going to apparently be back. It looks like it's pretty close to an agreement with the Packers. He's going to be back with the Packers, signing perhaps a one-year deal. That's how it looks, a one-year deal. So that is a pretty big deal if you think about it. That's what everybody's talking about. Is he going to be back? And for all the people listening in Wisconsin who were worried about that, whew, you can breathe a temporary sigh of relief, I guess, you know, at this point. If you are a fan of the Big 12, you might be really upset that Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. The word is SEC, SEC, and they don't care what the money costs to get out of those big television contracts. So, bye-bye. Big 12, Texas, Oklahoma, officially kind of shoving off. SEC, they got a formally extended invitation, but it looks like they'll do that. Thanks for hanging with us in the man cave, rather, and hats off to Nathan Reeder. He gets my Olympic gold medal.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden announced Monday that Americans dealing with the effects of long-term COVID could qualify for disability benefits. Speaking at a White House event, the president said those that qualify could be entitled to certain federal resources.
Many Americans who seemingly recover from the virus still face lingering challenges like breathing problems, brain fog, chronic pain or fatigue. These conditions can sometimes rise to the level of a disability. So we're bringing agencies together to make sure Americans with long COVID who have a disability have access to the rights and resources that are due under the disability law.
The Departments of Education, Health and Human Services, Justice, and Labor also released guidelines on Monday to help those suffering from long COVID navigate the federal benefit process. This is USA Radio News. Negotiations over a bipartisan infrastructure bill continue while Senate Democrats are working on pushing a $3.5 trillion spending plan through the budget reconciliation process. Critics of that package say that those high levels of spending will cause accelerated inflation. Senator Tom Tillis says that the package will do more harm to the economy. The North Carolina Republican tells Fox News that the spending package will have negative consequences for several sectors of the country.
We hope that on a bipartisan basis, getting this infrastructure package in, we can set it aside, and then the president and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi can sell this additional spending spree and the reckless taxes that will come with it. That's something else we haven't spoken about. We've got to remember it's corporate taxes, capital gains, family farmers are going to get hit hard. No one is going to be protected from the tax increase, which is another just way of undermining what was a great story to be told about rising wages before COVID hit our shores.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Called Blind Passion, A True Story of Magnificent Love. Vincent Perry joins us now. He's in our virtual green room. Vincent, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let's talk about your story, this story. Tell us what made you write the book.
Well, it didn't start out as a book at all. It resulted from my wife's death. She died on March 8th. 2003, 18 years ago, and I was so devastated by her death, and we loved each other so very much over the course of 30-plus years that when she died, I really couldn't bear the thought of me losing any memories of any of the things that we had done, and so I spent a very long time throughout 2003 trying to write down everything I could possibly remember about how we first met and the development of our love affair and all the things in our marriage and such. So I built up a substantial body of material of all of those recollections and such. And then it wasn't until a few years later that I was just doing that for myself. And then a few years later, I think it might have been 2006 or 2007 or something, I conceived the idea that I might take a portion of this material that I had developed and work it into the narrative of a book. And so I did. I spent some time doing that. And then I did nothing with it because so much of the material was so highly personal and erotic and sexual that I, and since I'm blind, I was going to need someone to assist me in the preparation of the manuscript, to check on formatting and various kinds of things. And I didn't think I could really trust anyone to do that. And then about a year ago, during the pandemic shutdown, my oldest granddaughter was furloughed from her job, and so she had quite a bit of time on her hands. And so I asked her if she would be willing to assist me in trying to get the book prepared for publication, and so she did. And so she assisted me in various steps where I needed sighted assistance for various sorts of things, and especially communicating back and forth over the internet with the publisher, filling out all of the online forms and things that they need that I find difficult to do myself. So that was it. So I basically spent most of last summer revising and rewriting and expanding various parts of the book that I had sitting idle for about 15 years. And so that's a very, very complex way in which it came about.
Wow. I love that your granddaughter helped you. It shows you that in the pandemic, some interesting things and good things came out of it. And in the story you talk about, you know, a true story, a personal love story about a couple and when it happened and you fell in love in, 1965 to 76 at a big university in Illinois. And in this book, you talk about Dorothy, and you say Dorothy is a mother of three, and she discovers happiness with a blind student named Grant, and what happens as a result of that, and how they have this incredible marriage, how it started off in a way so innocently, and then what it ultimately turned into. In this book, of all the ups and downs and exciting things that happened, what was Dorothy like?
Well, in my estimation, she was she possessed the most perfect goodness of any human being I've ever known. She had so many wonderful characteristics. She was very intelligent, but her personality was just absolutely fabulous. And about everybody who ever met her, it became her instant friend. She made friends so very easily because she was such an extraordinary person. She was very witty, had great sense of humor, was very, very gracious, and had just tremendous class and just so many magnificent qualities, and had about the greatest humanity of anyone I've ever known. And it was a great privilege an honor to be her second husband.
Wow. And in the book and the characters, as you weave the story of Dorothy and Grant, did Grant know that he was going to fall so hard for Dorothy and AKA you, and end up with this marriage, end up married and have children and all that?
Well, she and I never did have children. She only had children by her first marriage. One of the peculiar things, of course, about our relationship was our age difference. When I fell in love with her, I was a college student. I was only 19 years old, and I had never had a girlfriend before. So she was my first and has been my only girlfriend and has been my first and only lover. But no, I didn't. I realized that I was having very strong feelings towards her in November of 1971, but I didn't do anything about it. Or at the time, she was 43, so she was 24 years older than me. She had three children, and in fact, in terms of our age, I was sort of halfway between the ages of her oldest and her second oldest children. But I eventually disclosed my feelings towards her on the evening of Monday, July 10th, 1972, about 7.5 months after I first realized that I was feeling very strongly attracted to her, and her reaction was immediate. She was attracted to me, and we spent that evening and the following evening doing nothing but kissing for hours, and what I call the first and second kissing marathon. She had been in a marriage that she had not been in love with her husband for, I think, about 16 or so years before that, and she was really emotionally starved. And by the time I told her my feelings, we knew each other fairly well. But anyway, that's when it began. Wow. We kept our situation was, at first she still had her youngest child was still in high school. And even before I came along and sort of upset things, she had basically decided that as soon as her youngest child was, out of high school and was getting out on her own, she would probably leave her husband. And at that point, she wasn't sure what she was going to do with her life. So I came along and sort of messed things up a little bit in terms of the timeline. At first, she wanted to keep her family situation stable until her daughter was out of high school. But our attraction for each other was so powerful that it was virtually impossible for that to happen. She was hoping that we would, for a considerable time, just be special friends.
Yep.
And that simply was unworkable. Mm-hmm. And our relationship gradually became increasingly eroticized and eventually fully sexualized. And then eventually certain people found out about it, and it resulted in the divorce from her husband. And then we became, and even before that, we had already pretty much made up our mind that we would form a life together.
Wow. So we only have a minute or so left, and if people are listening to this conversation, why do they want to read this book? What will they walk away with if they get this book on Amazon, Blind Passion?
Well, I think it's a very wonderful true love story. It's unique in the fact that our age difference was what it was. I was a much younger person. She was a much older woman. We truly loved each other. But apart from that, I think it has some other interesting aspects to it besides it being a wonderful romance story. It also tells the story of how she was trapped in a loveless marriage for a long time and eventually found fulfillment in her own life and had a wonderful second chance in the second half of her adult life. In addition to that, the story I think also is interesting. Another aspect of the story is that since I'm blind, there's quite a bit in the story having to do with my blindness. And my education, a little bit about my education that I was obtaining at the time, and that sort of thing. And so a lot of people who haven't had any serious experience or contact with blind people might find it interesting.
Yeah.
In that regard as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the key things. Vincent Perry, thanks so much. Blind Passion, a true story of magnificent love. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Argo Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells.
Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you ever wondered what a wombat is, we're going to tell you all about it. She's written a couple of wonderful children's books. Her name is Sandra Swain, and her books are How Willy Wombat Won the Race, Willy Wombat's Walk, and then there's one, When Critters Get Cranky. And this is the perfect time for children's books. I said this, the summertime. I can remember my mother was a voracious reader, and I read so many books in the summer. Sandra, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. It's nice talking with you.
So how did you know that you had this gift in you, that you could write kids' books?
Well, I've always been interested in writing. My degree is in journalism, so I've written stories on and off, but more off than on until COVID hit, and then I decided it was time to go back to writing. So there was one positive effect to the COVID situation for me. Gave me permission to sit down and stop working and start writing.
Yeah, very nice. And you did it. And so when we look at the wombat, how did you come up with Willy Wombat? How did you come up with this character?
I wanted a kid who was kind of an outsider, and I didn't want any of the usual challenges that kids had. So I decided to make him an immigrant into the country. And wombats are native to Australia, and they're cute as can be. So actually had a friend who had a stuffed wombat in her car, which is what drew my attention to it. And I started looking them up online. And I'll tell you, the baby and juveniles are worth looking up on YouTube and online. They are absolutely adorable.
Yeah.
So he's my outsider kid who feels he isn't invited to a birthday party because he's an outsider. And that's how my story begins in the first book.
Yeah, and you talk about the Badger Brothers. You say the Badger Brothers, which is brilliant, because you say the Badger Brothers constantly bully Willie and make fun of Willie being on the track team.
Yes, and the second story, which is the story about the race, Willie is totally put off by the constant badgering of the Badger Brothers, who are the fastest kids on the track team at school. And Willie believes that they're faster than him. Then his mother tells him a secret, and Willie changes his belief, and he goes out and wins the race. So how did he do that? What's the secret? Well, the bottom line is Willie was stopping himself from running fast. And when his mom told him a secret, he changed his beliefs. So it's our belief system that can make a difference in what we succeed at.
Yeah, and the belief system, you've had some practice at this. I mean, you have kids, you have 8 grandchildren. So they, first of all, that's the perfect test as to your books. What do the grandkids think of Willie Wombat?
I have old, cranky teenager grandchildren, so I don't know. But my children all like the story, and they can relate it to events growing up in their children's lives. That's a funny question because they're all 18, 19, and 20 and so busy with their lives right now. But I'm hoping someday when they have kids, they will pull out these stories and use them as a basis for a discussion. And that's really what I hoped for these two stories. I was hoping they would lead to discussions with parents or teachers. I was lucky enough to get to Zoom with my daughter's fourth grade class about these two books. And the insight that 9- and 10-year-olds have is really rather amazing to me. My daughter had told me that I had no idea how often kids are hurt by not being invited to something. So they identified in different ways. But that was my hope, that it brings up a discussion so kids can explain their feelings and maybe with the help of their teacher, a parent, or someone else can think of a way to approach being left out or being bullied.
You know, it's interesting. You and I, in our conversation off the air, you told me something that really stuck with me about that and that insight that you learned from those 9- and 10-year-olds. That, for example, when you throw birthday parties, children's parties, and you limit them because you're going to a movie or you're going somewhere and you tell your child, hey, you can only invite X amount of kids, the other kids really get stung by that and you don't think about it.
Well, I was that kind of mother. I told my children they could invite 8 or whatever, and
yeah.
I never thought about it before. And now I think, what if there were only 10 girls in the class, and I allowed my daughter to invite 8. I would like to relive that, but I can't. So so it's advice to do what I didn't do, but think about all the other kids. And it probably makes a difference in how your child feels about the other kids, but often you're just limiting it by the numbers rather than what your own child feels about classmates.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think there is that message, like you're saying, and we don't always think about it. So talk about, you know, what can happen with these kids when they read how Willie Wombat won the race, Willie Wombat's Walk, is your belief system is what you believe and how significant that is. And I don't know that you learned that as a kid. I definitely had a fantastic mother, but I didn't learn that.
I didn't learn it either, and I didn't learn it till well along in life, and I must admit I have to learn it over and over. It's not something that most of us turn a 90-degree angle and just suddenly realize how important your beliefs are. But they're crucial. I put a quote at the back of How Willie Wombat Won the Race by Henry Ford, who said, if you believe you can do a thing or you believe you can't do a thing, you're right. And I think it's understood as far as how important that is in your approach to life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Sandra Swain. You can get all her books on Amazon. And then how about When Critters Get Cranky? Tell us about that.
Unfortunately, that's a true story about three of my grandchildren. The twins, a boy and girl, were 1.5, and their older sister, 2.5. Were really, really bad one day. They got into the refrigerator and pulled out yogurt and eggs and threw them at the wall. And it prompted me to write a story about them and how kids get unreasonable when they're tired and cranky. And not only do the kids get tired and cranky and unreasonable, but so do their parents. So that's the basis of that story. And like I say, it's kind of sad. It was a true story. And I hope it is not inspirational for other kids. But kids will recognize themselves, and certainly the mothers will.
That would have been an interesting phone call to make to their parents. Hey, guess what's happening over here? How fast can you get here?
A quick cleanup, and the carpet cleaners had to come.
Oh, my gosh, the carpet cleaners. Well, I love it. There's a message in that, When Critters Get Cranky. Absolutely, for sure. Do you have another book in you? I can't imagine, Sandra, you're not going to write more.
I have two that I've written that aren't published yet. One is on the shenanigans of Pickle and Jam, who are two raccoons who get into a great deal of mischief. And I was inspired to write that one because one day I was on highway following a garbage truck with a ladder on it. And at the top of the ladder, I realized there was a poor little raccoon, its fur blowing in the wind, probably being relocated somewhere accidentally. So at any rate, that story, I took it times two, but their adventures in when they kind of ran away for the day and the trouble they got into. The next story is about trees. The tree is a symbol, actually, for the whole world and how interconnected we are.
Yeah.
That one ends up being a family tree, but it's a metaphor for how important every decision we make in the world with the environment and how we get along with each other makes a difference because we're all connected.
Absolutely. I love it. You are very, very creative and talented, and these are books I would recommend. Get them all, and then you can give them as gifts. How Willy Wombat Won the Race, Willy Wombat's Walk, When Critters Get Cranky. Sandra Swain, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kate.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.